Right. So world over, you'll agree with me that people are beginning to like ditch religion or any kind of religious ideology, right? People are just embracing love, this idea of just being a good person, just being a good human, compassion. And I believe sitting here, few of us might subscribe to that. Just like forget religion, but just embrace love and compassion. And this morning, we're going to be exploring compassion. And since all of our talks at New City are based on the Bible and they're based on the person of Jesus, we're going to be looking into the compassion of Christ. By this time, you would have already figured that this title is a spin off of the movie, The Passion of the Christ, which I'm sure, irrespective of whether followers of Jesus or not, we've either heard of it or we've seen it, right? We're going to be looking at a passage that will help us really dig deep and see Jesus and his compassion this morning. If this is your first time, allow me to give some context into the passage that we have for us this morning. It is from the book of Matthew. It is a written record from an eyewitness of Jesus' life on earth. In fact, we will actually see this guy in the passage today, in the talk today. The context is Jesus started his work on earth, right? He started his work on earth. He gathered his team of 12 people, and he's going around doing some amazing things. He's going around proclaiming the good news of the new kingdom to come. He's going doing miracles, healing people, raising up dead people to life. And he does cover a lot of ground around which he was living. And when he goes to cover like a lot of ground, lots of towns and villages, he's in person looking at the real depravity of mankind. And we'll look at some such instances through the course of the talk this morning. And the passage that we have summarizes the entire chapter well, and it's towards the end of the chapter. Let's take a look at the passage. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Can we imagine that? Every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were like harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Hold on to that verse. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Yeah? The framework is as follows. First, we're going to look at what Jesus did. He firstly saw. The second thing, he had compassion. And the third thing we're going to look at is the cost of this compassion. Right? Let's dive straight. He saw. The passage says, when he saw the crowds, right? We as Mumbaikers, of all the people probably living in the world, are most familiar with crowds. I don't know if you've seen people around, but I definitely do see millions of people around me on a daily basis. Forget the general public, all right? Forget the general public. Let's talk about people like us, right? Working professionals, entrepreneurs, artists, and a good area, which you will agree with me, to represent this demographic in Bombay during the day is probably Lower Parel. It has probably the most number of offices. Some of the best law firms are there. Some of the best media houses are there. It has brilliant co-working spaces. It has startup offices. It houses tons of media houses. I'm pretty sure a lot of us sitting here work in Lower Parel. It has a lot of entertainment houses like OML, Only Much Louder, AIB. Yeah, it has probably the most number of breweries, clubs, and performance venues. And if there's any place in Bombay that really describes this demographic, you will agree with me that it is probably low peril. Right? Now, here's the thing. Try venturing into this space in the evening when people are getting home. Few of us work there, and they can tell you for a fact that it's chaos. It's chaos, right? And this place is full of people. Here's the thing about crowds. It is really difficult for us to see individual people in a crowd. Forget the roads. Few of us work in some huge buildings, just working office spaces, and some 100 companies are in the same building. We see thousands of people in the same building. The thing about crowds is, it is difficult to see an individual in the crowd. It is far more easier to be self-consumed and be highly indifferent to what's happening around us. And I'm being the first in admitting this. Even though I don't work in an area full of crowds, but I do travel, and I see crazy number of crowds. And we live in the maximum city where the maximum number of people do exist. There are times I'm so self-consumed, so preoccupied, I'm so unaware of what's happening around me. And this morning, let me invite us, all of us, irrespective of whether we're followers of Jesus or not, to see that Jesus saw individuals in the crowd. From where do I establish this? It is the context in which I find this chapter. Like I told you, this chapter, this passage is the last part of the chapter. And from the beginning, we see constantly Jesus seeing individuals. First, he sees a paralyzed man when his friends get him to Jesus. And he has compassion on him and heals him. Second, we see the very author of the book, Matthew. He's a tax collector. And by definition, I know that we hate tax collectors, but in that day, people really hated tax collectors. But Jesus sees Matthew in the crowd and he picks him. Next, he takes some time to address a few people who have some questions about what's happening about him. In all of the crowds, he takes the time to address their questions. And the best example for me in this chapter is this instance when Jesus was going to raise a dead girl. Crowds were following him. He was rushing. And in that instance, a woman with a bleeding problem slowly crawls through the crowd and touches the hem of his garment. Jesus, rushing, pauses there, looks at the woman and acknowledges her. And he encourages her faith. Before we go any further this morning, I believe this. Jesus is encouraging a few of us sitting here, irrespective of whether we're followers of Jesus or not. You are probably feeling lonely this morning. You're feeling discouraged and dejected. You feel the life is running all around you and you are stuck. We're feeling lost in a room or a world full of crowd. This morning, the encouragement is Jesus sees you. He sees you for who you are, and he sees your heart, and he sees in all of its brokenness. Jesus never loses sight of an individual in a crowd. That's the encouragement for us this morning. And this morning, as a first step in growing in compassion, can we just begin to see people around us? We spend most of the day in our offices, right? Most of the time awake in our offices. And as New City, we are called to meaningfully engage and show the love of Jesus, not just to our peers, people working around us, but also to the bosses and superiors, right? Let's be very honest. When we think of our colleagues and our bosses and superiors, probably the last feeling we have towards them is compassion. Let's be honest. This morning, if we really wish to grow in compassion like Jesus, can we begin to start seeing people around us in the crowds. Second point this morning is he had compassion. It says when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Now we might have a genuine question. Why should I have compassion on people around me, especially my peers, and especially my superiors and my bosses? They seem to be doing much better than me in life. Why should I have compassion? Allow me to submit this to us this morning. That when we begin to see people for who they really are, deeper than their name, deeper than their fancy clothes, deeper than their fancy designations, deeper than probably their fancy pay packages, and deeper than anything else that first grabs our attention about them, we begin to see people for who they really are. A 2018 Swiss bank UBS report says this: Mumbaikers are the hardest working people in the world. They put in the longest hours as compared to 77 other global cities in the world. An average Mumbaiker, that is you and me, works 3,314.7 hours a year compared to the world average of 1,987. That's probably 12 to 13 working hours a day. And throughout the week, we practically have negligible amount of time just to refresh and restore. People are constantly running on empty in our city. A survey showed that 40% of Mumbai's young population admit to being depressed. We can only imagine of the number of people who are scared or probably even not aware of their state of depression. We kind of live in a self-made men kind of culture where we truly believe who we are and what we do solely depends on us and nothing else. And that's putting us in a lot of pressure. And more often than not, people are crumbling in this pressure. The very famous saying says, it's lonely to be at the top. And every Mumbaiker wants to be at the top. A survey showed that 1 in 3 people admit to being lonely. Among 20,000 adults, 54% admitted that they have no one who actually knows them for who they are. This is the state that we are in. And Jesus uses an imagery to explain this. He says they are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd. Allow me to help us understand this in contextual, putting it in context. Sheep are probably the most frequently used animal in the Bible. And according to the Dictionary of Biblical Imagery, sheep were not fenced in and left to fend for themselves. They were totally dependent on shepherds for protection, grazing, watering, shelter, and tending to injuries. In fact, sheep would not survive long without shepherd. And as Jesus, and even as he's talking about sheep without a shepherd, he actually gives a solution to this. He himself, in John chapter 10, verses 11, says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. What he is essentially saying is, I am the good shepherd. You are my sheep. I will protect you. I will provide for you, water you, shelter you. Your life is in my hands. I am never going to let go of you. I will see you to the very end. The pressure is off you now. Live in the freedom that I'm inviting you to. I believe this morning we should ask a very important question. What do you think we are ultimately being harassed by and we're feeling helpless about? What do you think that's causing us? If you have to be really honest, really honest, the root cause of all of this that we see around in the world today is the mess that is in us and the mess that is around us, people around us. It's this imperfection. If we have to be really honest with ourselves, life is pretty messy. You don't have to be a Christian to acknowledge that fact. Forget us. I mean, forget around us. Let's look inside us. Do we really like everything about ourselves? If people really knew what was happening inside of us, would they be okay with it? Forget them. Would we be okay with it? No, right? This morning, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is inviting us to himself. And if you're not a follower of Jesus this morning, you might be wondering, why? Why Jesus? I can go to anyone else. Why should I run only to Jesus? And here's the reason, my friends. Listen to me carefully. If there's anyone who knows the maximum extent of how it feels like to be harassed and helpless, Jesus does. What we experience is probably a minute percentage of what he really experienced. Let's look at the cost of his compassion. Jesus, the perfect Son of God and the perfect man to ever walk on the face of the earth, willingly said, I am willing to take on the mess of all of humanity upon myself. Since I am perfect, I can pay for this mess. I can pay for this mess. And when he did that, justice had to be served. And in the perfect standard of God's judgment, the only price that is to be paid is death. And Jesus willingly went to the cross to die. Trust me, friends, if you've seen the movie The Passion of the Christ, you really know that he was harassed in every way. They whipped him with whips that had metal hooks that tore into his flesh. Then after that, he carried his own cross up that hill where he was going to be put to death. On hanging on the cross, they tore his clothes in front of him while he was hanging there naked. That is harassment. Talk about feeling helpless. The 12 closest friends he had deserted him, left him. The very crowds that loved him for who he was yelled, crucify him right there. And that is not it. His very own perfect Father forsook him and he cried, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? And the reason is simple, friends. A holy God cannot look at the mess and be okay with it. And Jesus was not carrying his mess. He was carrying our mess on that cross. He is the Good Shepherd that is inviting us to live in the freedom. Do you know what purchased that freedom? When he walked out of that grave, he didn't just come to die and die as a martyr. He walked out of that grave victorious so that you and I can no longer be harassed and helpless, but live in the freedom that he calls us to live. He is the Good Shepherd. We are the sheep. We can feel safe in his embrace. And if this morning you are an explorer and you're not yet a follower of Jesus, this is what he's inviting you to. Would you want to make the call this morning? Friends, if you're a follower of Jesus, being a recipient of such expensive grace, how can we not pay this forward? I've lived 25 years of my life just living in blatant indifference. This morning, let me remind us that the grace that saved us with compassion is also compelling us to mission this morning. Let's begin small. Let's begin small. The world is at our disposal. Let's begin to start seeing people one person at a time for who they really are. When we start seeing that, people at our workplaces, at our neighborhoods, the gift of compassion, left to me, I can't feel compassion. Holy Spirit will fill us with compassion for these people. Can we begin to start seeing people in the crowds? And the call of Jesus for us is very clear this morning. The harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. Go out and make disciples. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. If anybody knows our fears, our inability, our insecurities with regards to paying this love forward and speaking to people, Jesus knows. And the call this morning is, ask the Lord to send out workers into the harvest field. Can we just take a moment to pray for ourselves? And I'll invite Anand to lead in this time of prayer.